Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. So we're getting our next guest lined up here and get Joel going here relatively quickly. So I ended the last hour talking about the Trump rally and the songs. There are some bands, by the way, that won't allow their songs to be played.
Well, that's understandable, John. I mean,
I suppose.
Yeah, but the country is heavily divided. And for instance, I would have felt ill at ease if Barack Obama was going to use something that I had produced, because I felt he was destroying the nation. I'm not saying I would have forbid it, but I know I would have felt uncomfortable with it.
Okay.
What do you think?
No, I get where you're coming from, and there's people that probably feel the same way of music they've created, those being, no surprise, Rolling Stones, Neil Young, Guns N' Roses, and the estate of Tom Petty.
The estate of Tom Petty.
He died, so it'd be the estate now running things.
I know. Okay.
That's how it works. So, all right, we got our next guest going here, Joel Griffith, joining us now. Joel, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir? Welcome back, I should say.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. Thanks for joining us. And Joel's from Heritage. And we talked in the last hour a little bit, Joel, kind of as a preempt for you coming on. And we did get into socialism a little bit and the ugly truth about socialism, which, let's face it, there's a movement going on in the country right now between, you know, the party of the left, Biden, Harris, and the likes. And that side, I think this particular election cycle more than ever has just been inundated with not just socialistic ideas, but literally they are driven literally right now by true socialism. In fact, I'd call it communism.
Well, yeah, socialism has become in vogue, especially over this past year. And it's not as if those that are promoting it, they don't even hide the fact. They proudly declare themselves socialists, as we all know we had a declared socialist on the stage during the Democratic primary campaign with Bernie Sanders. And sadly, we've seen supposedly mainstream politicians actually picking up the mantle now that he's just back in the Senate. But it's really, you know, there's just such a lack of awareness, a lack of education to especially the younger generation about what socialism is, what the results have been. We have our minds, the minds of the young, especially that are coming through public schools, that are in many ways indoctrinated to support these ideas without really having an understanding of what the results have been elsewhere across the world.
Hey, Joel, would you say the biggest problem right now is that we can't reach the young? And what I mean is this, the young vote, they believe 70% that socialism is okay, and they wouldn't mind having a socialist president. And there are really three venues, three major institutions that reach the young: academia, entertainment, and the tech world. And all three are completely run by the left. How do we reach the young?
Well, in the short term, there's not a lot of hope that those education centers are going to change, especially in the next few years. I think really this is the responsibility of parents and those of us with friends to civilly engage with those around us, not in a combative manner, but to actually ask the questions to understand exactly where it is that their line of thinking has gone wrong. And a recent article that the leader of Heritage Foundation just wrote really dove into a lot of these common myths that people have about socialism. For instance, if you talk to the typical person, well, give me an example of where socialism has worked. Oftentimes, we'll just offhandedly say, hey, Scandinavian countries, right? Denmark, Sweden, Norway. But the fact is, most people don't understand that those economies are actually more free, with less government intrusion, and fewer regulations on business starting, on trade, on labor, less than we have here in the United States. People confuse the safety net with socialism itself. Socialism itself is government control of the means of production, and that's where you end up with not just bad economic consequences, but also a loss of freedom. And the fact is, those Scandinavian countries, they're anything but socialist. They are market economies, and in fact, they are more market-based than we are here.
Hey,
socialism,
Joel,
as it plays out, yeah.
Joel, does it ever occur to them just how racist they sound? Because what they're saying is white socialism works, but brown socialism in Venezuela, well, we're not going to do that kind.
Well, race doesn't really have anything to do with these economic models.
I know that, but they always cite Northern Europe.
Know that.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I know you know that. But if that were to ever arise, you're right, these distinctions. It's really about what is the economic model that's tried. So, hey, we saw socialism tried across the Eastern European countries and the Soviet Union. And we saw what happened there with the immense poverty, the starvation, the fact that they were decades behind the West in economic development, not to mention all the people that ended up suffering for their beliefs in prison camps. But just the economic side itself was dismal. And then we saw the same system tried far, far away. And we see it happening now in South America. You mentioned Venezuela. What so many young adults don't understand is Venezuela, a few decades ago, was actually one of the most prosperous countries on the planet.
Yeah, very much so. Vast natural resources to boot, Joel, which made them a very wealthy country at one time.
Yeah, they have some of the largest oil reserves in the world.
That's right.
And now that equipment largely is rusting.
Yeah, defunct, basically.
Scrap metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to the point, this is what people don't understand, to the point that even a capitalistic country like the United States with vast, you know, technologies in that particular arena could come in there and really help get them right back on the map. But the problem is when they're so corrupt as a government and don't have any idea what they're doing next, and it's been completely taken over by literally socialism/communism, there's not an American company that's going to go down there and risk any of that.
Yeah, you're right. There's very little in the way of private property rights remaining. And if you can't be assured that the capital and the labor that you put at risk won't be seized by the government.
Well, and as I was going to say, and the problem is there's examples of even, you know, General Motors having an auto plant there, a parts plant, where, you know, not that long ago, last couple of years, you know, the government basically took that over, seized it, and booted GM out. And when you've got example after example of other companies being there, losing all of those assets, why would you go back there?
Yeah, you're right. There's many other places in this world in which private property is respected and you have the rule of law. And some of those countries, I guess you'd say ironically, actually aren't countries with immense amounts of natural resources. But the biggest resource that you can have is actually human freedom, human ingenuity. Think about Singapore, for instance, which is a relatively small piece of land. Their biggest asset, the fact that they have a rule of law, a free economic system, and people are free to pursue their dreams relatively free of government intrusion. And then meanwhile, you do have a place like Venezuela with so much raw natural resource wealth where people are dying in poverty.
Yeah, Joel, I often put this to young people. I say, look, in terms of oil, water, forests, and mining, Venezuela is the most compact, of natural resources in the entire world, and they're a mess because of an economic system that you want here in the United States.
Yeah, and even if we don't go to the extreme of Venezuela, with the dictatorship and with completely out of control money printing, even if we were to go to the direction of Western Europe, that would actually be a step in the wrong direction, not just because it would hurt the wealthy, it would hurt the middle class as well. Look at France, which has a partially socialized economy. It's not just the rich that pay for that. It's the middle class. You go there and you're a middle class person making 50 or 60,000 a year, you're going to be paying the payroll tax of 50-something percent. Plus the national sales tax.
So there's no free lunch, even though politicians are going to try to sell it to us that way. And they might score some political points, but really, we all pay for the political favor that they end up currying.
Yeah, and you know, one thing else I don't know how you convey this to, you know, the other side or to even the young individuals you and Andy are talking about, Joel, but you look at other countries, and I know we just picked out Venezuela, but let's face it, we could take all of South America, we could take all of Africa without maybe South Africa, exclude it, but literally take the rest of Africa as a complete continent and look at the resources all of those particular, you know, land masses have. And yet, the majority of the people that live in those areas live at not only a poverty line, but way below the poverty line. And our homeless in America live a better life than the majority of the people that live in either one of those continents do. And yet, the resources, the natural resources that are there to provide a high income to the people that actually live in those continents, but because of their socialistic slash communistic slash dictatorship run countries that are inside of those continents, they can't enjoy the quality of life that we have.
Yeah, and the common denominator of each of those countries, that there actually is a very wealthy elite in each one of those countries.
That's right.
That represents the state, and they pull all the strings. They have all the control. And if you, as an individual or as a business person, want to challenge that, you are going to fail because there is no rule of law and
nope.
There's very little private property rights.
That's right.
But for 80% of the population, you can see that there's very little wealth inequality because the 80% plus is very, very poor.
Yeah, well said. No, you're exactly right. So, you know, and I guess maybe because I've been to some of those countries, I've seen how the inner workings of those countries are, and I guess that's why in my case I'm so against any type of movement in this country to become more socialized. And I've been criticized on this show for, you know, using socialism and communism in the same sentence. But in my book, Joel, anymore, they've melded together so closely anymore that we almost need to come up with a new word, because literally when you talk to someone about either or, I'm not sure they can even tell you the difference between one or the other. So let's face it, they are one of the same in today's world.
And even if you look at some of the quasi-nationalization plans that we've seen proposed by the current people running, look at the Green New Deal or the Green New Deal Light. Sure, that's not the outright communism. It's basically the government taking over the energy sector through the regulatory state and through subsidizing certain businesses. And what's on paper, it sounds great, right?
Yep.
Millions of jobs, clean energies. But very few people are drawing the comparisons between these proposals and what have been tried elsewhere, overseas. Look at Germany, for instance. They pay, in many areas of Germany, 2 to 3 times for electricity what you pay for here.
That's right.
And it's a large part because of that, but average disposable income in Germany, which is it's a wonderful country, but average disposable income for a family is about $10,000 less per year. And that's directly related to that type of government interventionism. So whether you're talking about a democratic socialist state, a socialist state, or an outright communist state, the further you go in that direction, the less prosperous the average person
right.
is going to
That's
be.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and meanwhile, even China laughs at the Green New Deal and builds more coal plants.
Right.
Yeah.
Well said. Joel, how do folks find more about you and your writings at Heritage?
Go to heritage.org, and any issue area that you want to explore, you can enter the search term. If it's something related to the banking system, economics, my name will likely pop up. But any other area you're interested in, just put it in that search bar on heritage.org, and you will obtain a wealth of free information.
Good stuff. Joel, I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. Thanks for all you do at Heritage, by the way.
All right, thank you, and have a great night.
Thank you, Joel. I appreciate it. And again, as I said earlier, good, solid individuals. And Joel's right. If there's any topic you'd like to learn about, I don't stress this enough, and we should. We talked about that in the first hour with Ken, our caller, and how we inform others and how we get people on the same page. And Andy, I don't promote Heritage probably enough. It's free. It's not a subscription-based website like a lot of places are. You can literally go there, as he said, type in any subject, anything, solar,
right.
wind, you name it. If
yeah.
you want to know about something, just, you know, taxation, type it in. There'll be a complete list of multiple articles there that will inform you. And what I will say about Heritage is this. See, make sure I say this the right way. Are they conservative? Absolutely. But are they so rabid conservative that they won't look at all sides of an issue? Absolutely not. They will look at all of the surrounding things going into a particular topic. They will look at and analyze and then give you information about it in a complete package.
No, you're absolutely right. And by the way, look at what we're seeing in the streets right now with the riots. What we're seeing is, John, being rabid left-wing rabid right-wing doesn't reach the middle.
And Heritage does a good job, by the way, I think, of reaching the middle. So if you've got any questions or anything you don't know about and you want a resource where you can send folks to learn about those things, just send them to Heritage. It's really easy. Save Children is up next, folks. Save the Children, I should say. And we've got a special announcement tomorrow from Barber's Foods where we're going to talk a little bit about Save the Children. But in the meantime, if you need anything when it comes to helping out with kids, I shouldn't say need, but if you want to help out with kids, they have needs. Let me say it that way. They've got some great needs. We would love to help them with those needs and meet those needs. And again, Barber's Foods is going to be making an announcement tomorrow on how they're going to help in that area. We can do the same thing. Just dial 1-800-570-5155 or go to SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
You know, there are millions of kids right now who are living in poverty. As a matter of fact, one out of every five kids in America today is in poverty. And many of those families are the families of our veterans, men and women who have served us in the military. Our friends at Save the Children are standing in the gap for these veterans who know what it's like to deal with unexpected situations in the battlefield. But then you come home and you've got school closures and isolation, can't get to your doctor's appointments. That puts an extra layer of stress on families who already have a lot to deal with. That's where Save the Children can help. Helping children of wounded veterans. Just one example of the vulnerable and often overlooked and forgotten kids right here at home that Save the Children represents. Now, it's really very basic. You give a $100 donation to Save the Children today, and that will provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one child for 10 days. Just $100 can do that. A $300 donation can provide that same child with food for an entire month. Go to Save Children KLZ right now and make sure that these kids don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. That's SaveChildrenKLZ.org.
Ascent Health Center, Dr. Julie Marchio is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about cupping. You may or may not know what that means, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. Bottom line for all of you listening, if you don't feel well, Dr. Julie can help you feel better. If you want to lose weight, she can help you with that. If you need an adjustment, she's full chiropractic care as well. Anything you need, though, they're there for you. AscentHealthCenter.com or 303-343-8800.
You just don't feel good. Maybe it's an immune disorder. Maybe it's lack of healthy diet and exercise. Maybe it's a hormone imbalance or some unidentified underlying health issue. Whatever the reason, you can't remember the last time you felt truly refreshed, full of energy, and free of aches and pains. Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascent Health Center believes it's possible to feel great. She wants to give you hope by providing practical direction for healthy lifestyle changes. Nobody can figure out their health issues and maintain a perfect diet and exercise alone. We all need guidance and support to find out what's going on and work to fix it. Dr. Julie and the team at Ascent Health Center will meet with you to identify some possible causes for your high stress levels, low energy levels, and poor sleep. Then they will make a plan to stop feeling awful all the time and start feeling great. Mention Rush to Reason today for a free, no-obligation consultation with Dr. Julie.
New rules supported by the Polis administration will make it more expensive to heat your home or apartment, drive your car, and charge your phone. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Chelsea Miera with the West Slope Oil and Gas Association joins me for our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. Chelsea will explain why you should be concerned. Plus, Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, and Matt Durkin, DA candidate for Jefferson and Gilpin counties, weigh in on the rising crime in our communities. All this Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe joining us now. Joe, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. Yourself?
Doing very well.
Doing well, Joe.
Good. Hey, I wanted to talk about what typically precedes full-blown socialism, which is confiscatory tax rates. I'm sure you've heard the liberals, they want to tax rich people at 70%, some people even say 90%. And let me tell you, if we ever get there, which would precede socialism, how that would kill manufacturing in this country. I'm going to give you a real simple example. Let's say we've got a product, we have a patent on a product, and we say, you know, if we spend $10 million to build a factory, and if all goes well, our projections are great, we should be able to gross $1 million pre-tax profit on that $10 million investment. So that's a 10% return, pre-tax return on investment. But, you know, if we're in the 37% federal bracket and we're in a 5 or 6% state bracket, okay, if all goes well, you know, and our gamble pays off, we're going to net 5.5% post-tax profit. That's at the current 37% tax rate. Now, if you go to 70% federal plus 5% state, if you do, in fact, make the $1 million, you're only going to get to keep $250,000. That's a 2.5% return on a $10 million gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Would you invest $10 million on a 2.5% after-tax return?
No, very few people would do that.
No, because even if you open the business that is going gangbusters, well, in the next year, you're going to have competition. And then that's going to go down. Like you said, you're taking a huge gamble with a high risk on the taxes. That's terrible.
Right. Now, particularly when you can get a 3% tax-free return on, you know, tax-free municipal bonds or a 30-year treasury note. So I'm not going to invest $10 million and take a risk when I can get a 3% return after tax return, zero risk. So what do? I will offshore that manufacturing to Taiwan or someplace or Vietnam.
Right.
And yeah, I may not get the million, but I'll get the $500,000, but I get the $500,000 without risking a $10 million investment. And guys, I've done this, trust me, I've done this in real life. This is the analysis we go through. So if you want to kill manufacturing in the U.S. prior to full-blown socialism, just let the tax rates go up to 70%, and you will never see another manufacturing plant built in this country ever. I guarantee you.
There's no incentive, unfortunately, and this is we could talk almost 3 hours on this one single topic because of the misconstrued information that's been pumped into most of our young people that the people you're talking about, Joe, are somehow evil tyrants that are just trying to take advantage of the world around them by actually owning the business that you're talking about. When in reality, everything you just said is exactly the way it works. And if there's not a good return there, they're not going to do it.
But these people who want to tax people at 70%, they are economically illiterate.
Yep.
They have not thought through what a 70% tax rate would do. It would basically, you'd never see another manufacturing plant, and whether it be for a new product or to expand. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm building garden tractors or drilling oil wells. You know, if you have a 70% tax rate, I'm not going to gamble tens of millions of dollars to drill wells or build factories if I'm only going to net 2.5% after tax. Maybe. If all goes well, maybe I'm going to net 2.5%. I would have to be insane to risk that sort of capital. I'll leave my $10 million in the bank. I'll find somebody in Taiwan to build my product for me. I'll settle for half that profit, but with zero risk. And that's exactly how
yep.
it goes.
Right.
You know, Joe, the way I always lead in with young people, because they're not going to think in terms of, you know, capital investment and all this kind of thing.
I don't know what it even means.
Yeah, but they do understand a very simple statement. I just look at them and say, hey, if I take more of what you have, won't you cling to what you have left? If I take more of what you have, won't you cling to what you have left? Well, yeah, I will. Oh, okay, second question. Do you think the rich are perfect, sinless creatures? Everyone is a cross between Jesus, Gandhi, and Mother Teresa? No, they're terrible. So you think they're selfish. Oh, great. So they're just like you. So if we take more of what they have,
right,
don't you think they're going to cling to what they have left? You see, when they cling, they hire less, promote less, create less, build less, all those things that you
exactly
want them to
right.
do.
Yep. So you take away the incentive and entrepreneurship, capitalism, investment in this country will die, and at that point you've got nothing left but socialism. So that's the intermediate step between full-blown socialism is a punitive confiscatory tax rates.
Well said.
And that's where we're heading. All right, guys.
Good stuff. Joe, thanks. I appreciate it. Let's take a timeout. We'll come right back. Mighty Hand Construction is next. Talked to them last night. And good guys. They want to help you with all of your projects. They got some financing deals as well right now. And it's really simple. All you have to do is call 970-844-9191 or go to klzradio.com.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. you'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat Siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
All right, folks, and we figured out yesterday from Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage that he can help you finance and get done some of what Mighty Hand is doing. It's really easy. Just call Kurt today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Mark Mix joining us now. Mark, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. Thanks for the opportunity to be back on.
Really appreciate it. President of the National Right to Work Committee. And, Mark, I kind of promoed you today as really talking about if Biden and Harris win, which I don't think they will, but if they do, the labor unions get basically a direct line to the White House if they get elected, don't they?
Well, that's right. They get a cabinet-level position to advise the president on labor. They say labor union issues, but what they really mean is big labor union issues. And Harold Schaeferger, the president of the Firefighters Union, says he'll have a key to the back door of the White House. So I'll let you draw your own conclusions, but that's what they're saying.
Yeah, they get a front seat at the table, basically. So, you know, you have the head of the table, which would be, you know, Biden-Harris, and then, you know, the very next seat to their left would be the union dude.
Yeah, he's going to rely on Richard Trumka, the president of the AFL-CIO, who's again and again mentioned that he believes in those democratic socialist policies, and it's really a difficult situation. I mean, you know, this president could not be in the White House if it weren't for rank and file union members across the country voting for him in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Ohio, but yet organized labor continues to push this radical agenda on just about everything, John. Frankly,
what do you think their ultimate goal is there? Because let's face it, if they ended up getting exactly what they're asking for, the country ends up in ruins and there's nobody left to produce anything, and those guys don't even have any union dues coming in. So I'm confused at their mentality and what they think they're going to accomplish.
Well, their number one priority, and according to the president, and according to the candidate for the presidency, Joe Biden, they want to start out by repealing all 27 right-to-work laws in the country. And the right-to-work laws, John, are really simple. They just say that you can choose whether or not you want to support a labor union. That's all they say. Mm. But they want to get rid of that because that would guarantee union officials the ability to collect dues as a condition of employment, meaning you'd be forced to pay union dues.
So if you're going to work there, you got to pay the dues or you're not there anymore.
That's correct. You'd be fired.
Gotcha.
That's right.
Gotcha. Yeah. Where, with those of you listening, make sure that we get this straight. In the cases of what you're talking about, those 27 right to work laws basically forbid that. If you decide, you know, if Andy and I are working together, and all of a sudden the union guy comes along, and Andy decides that he wants to join up, I don't think Andy would, but if Andy decides he wants to join up, he's got the ability to do so. If I say I don't want to, I don't have to, and off we go. What you're saying is, if those go away, if Andy joins, I have to as well.
Yeah, that's right. You have to pay union dues to keep your job. You can't be formally, and here's the kind of the quotation marks around that. You can't be formally forced to join the union, but you can be formally forced to pay all the union dues in order to keep your job. So what's the difference? And even in
None.
Colorado, which is not a right-to-work state, you have what's called a Labor Peace Act, which says you had to vote on, first of all, you vote on the union, then you vote on forced dues in the workplace. Even that law would be overturned if President Biden is there and signs a bill that would repeal these laws, because the laws of right to work, the right to work laws in the country, are a privilege granted to the states by the federal government back in 1947. And all they have to do is simply repeal that privilege, mm-hmm. and then everything goes back to forced unionism.
Hey, Mark, for those who haven't heard this phrase in a very long time, because it's become kind of old, but Biden wants to bring it back, can you explain again to people card check?
Yeah, Andy, that's real simple. I mean, basically the way unions are selected in a workplace is that the workers sign a petition saying they're interested in unionization. If mm-hmm. they get the requisite number of signatures, they submit that to the National Labor Relations Board. The board then says, okay, we'll have an election. And that election, like most elections we all participate in, are secret, meaning you take a slip of paper, you check yes or no, and you put it in a box, and no one knows how you vote. Under the card check certification process, basically what that means is, if a union official, because Andy, you supported the union according to John, if you go to John's house with another buddy who's a little bit bigger than John, and he says, hey, sign this card, or else... It's 10 o'clock at night or not. You guys work late,
right.
So maybe it's,
yep.
you know, 2 in the morning or whatever. But he signs that card. That is a vote for the union. And basically, you can't get that back. And once union officials get 50% plus one of those votes, they simply hand them to the employer, and the union represents everyone in that bargaining unit, even people that may not have ever seen the card or even were
right.
aware of a union organizing campaign underway.
Yeah, right. Basically, it abolishes the secret ballot, and right. it unleashes the thugs.
Yep.
It unleashes exactly what we're seeing in the streets today, a bunch of thugs trying to force us to
right.
vote their way.
Well said.
Yeah. Yeah, the coercion and the force is what they're really after. You know, you'd think, John, you know this, you consult with businesses, you tell them to provide good customer service,
yep.
provide a good product, take care of your customers, and they will come. Union officials say, government, please grant us the privilege of forcing them to pay us so that we can collect money from these workers instead of selling a product.
It really, Mark, and I know this might sound like a stretch, but that's kind of what communism is at its core. You make sure that the government provides everything you need. In this case, the union saying, you know, Mr. Government, provide us everything we need inside of this particular corporation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And frankly, if they would just adopt a principle of voluntarism, if they would basically say, look, we are going to provide great service, we're going to amplify your voice in the workplace, we're going to make things better for you. I mean, they say that, but it never really happens.
No.
Because they rely on the compulsion.
That's right.
They rely on the force.
Well,
and that's
and
not a good...
And yeah. let's real quick, Mark, let's face it. We also live in a day and age. This is something I need to remind everybody out there listening. We live in a day and age today, Mark, where frankly, are unions even needed any longer? There's enough laws on the books, and I, as an employer, I know what those laws are. There's so many things that I already have to abide by as an employer that the reality is the need to have somebody collectively bargaining on behalf of the people that work in any particular facility. Let's face it, Mark, that those days are gone. You don't need that anymore.
Well, John, I would agree that the regulations in place that govern the workplace there's a great plethora, to use a bigger word,
yeah.
out there already that take care of workers. But, you know, look, there is a place for workers to join together voluntarily if they choose to do so. But they should never be forced. And that's really what the policy of organized labor is. And Biden and the Biden-Harris campaign is talking about this compulsion. So if these workers want to join together voluntarily and say, let's amplify our voice, should be able to do that, whether it be 100 years ago, today, or tomorrow. But force should never be part of that equation.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you something political here. Would you say mm-hmm. that whether it's in the streets or in the, you know, the sports leagues or in union halls, that all of the arm twisting, the power moving, and all of the control and all of the, you know, silencing of dissent, do you think this is backfiring on them? Do you think it's starting to shape up to look really good for Trump?
Well, I whether it militates in Trump's favor or not is one thing, but certainly, Andy, the Democrats have realized that this is not a good picture. I mean, 100 straight days in Portland, Rochester, New York, north of where I grew up. I mean, the people that I'm talking to, anecdotally, from my old hometown back in Western New York are saying, look, this is outrageous, it's out of control, this is what this is what happens when those people get in power if they don't tamp it down. So it does hurt them.
I think it does, too. I was saying yesterday, Mark, I was on vacation last week, and, you know, I just, when I go on vacation, I try to not do this stuff. You know, you try to get away and not talk and so on. But I did a lot of listening to the people that were around on vacation, and I will attest to everything you just said. What I heard over and over again from people that you knew from other conversations were probably not, you know, even right of center. In fact, if anything, they were in some cases pretty hardcore left. You could just hear the conversation. But when it came to these topics, and there's three basic topics: the riots, COVID, and the mask wearing. They're tired. They are worn out on all three levels, and this is not helping the other side at all.
I would agree completely. And folks that I knew that that vote differently than I do, having those conversations and hearing them talk about at least two of those three things you talked about right there, John, is exactly what I'm hearing. And I don't tend to believe that that's, you know, I don't want to apply that to everybody. But I will say this. My wife, I have five daughters, and I have seven voters in my house now. And they are concerned about those issues. And I'm pretty confident I know how they're going to vote, and I wouldn't coerce them in any way, of course. I will encourage them. I won't coerce them. They'll do what they do voluntarily to maintain my position here.
Sure.
But I believe that safety is a primary issue in their minds. I mean, they're looking at the TV. They're looking at the news. In fact, we at the Mix household just take a day off every once in a while because it's so unbelievable, you know.
Yep.
But
you're right.
Safety is a key issue.
Mark, you know a lot of people on the right, but you also know a lot of people in the middle. And if you think about those people in the middle, do you think that they are really separating between street thugs and union thugs at this point? Or are they basically saying, man, these people are all the same?
Well, I can't speak, Andy, for them, but I would say this. I mean, union officials have done nothing to tamp down what's going on in America right now. In fact, they're endorsing a candidate and a vice presidential candidate who actually gave bail money or raised bail money to get these people out of jail.
Yeah,
so, which would tell you they're on that side, not against it.
Well, that's just it. The union thugs and the street thugs and these candidates all hold the same ideology, Mark. I mean, can it really be separated effectively?
Well, I think it is separated, Andy. I think the chasm growing between rank and file union members who believe in safety and believe in making America great again and believe in Second Amendment rights and believe in those things that propelled Trump into the presidency in 2016, that's still there. That constituency is still there, and I'm sure they are outraged by what's going on. And, you know, look at the comments in the sections on these articles about Portland and Rochester and all these places where there's violence, and you'll see the growing disparity of what union officials are saying, you know, this idea of endorsing Biden and Harris, where rank and file union members are distinguishing between them very, very clearly, I think. And that's the secret to all of this, is kind of that silent majority. John, you talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it for a minute. Those folks out there, and Andy, you know, whether it's the union thugs out there on the front lines in Portland, I think rank and file workers understand that's not them. That's not who they want to be. That's not who their community should be. And I think when they see their union officials endorsing, you know, the Biden-Harris campaign that's actually doing everything they can to kind of foment this, that's really where the disconnect comes from.
Well, and in, you know this as well as I, 2018, they spent $2 billion on politics and $1.3 from forced dues. I mean, as soon as some of the stuff becomes more public, which it already is, but as people start realizing, wait a minute, my union dues aren't really going to help represent me and my job. They're just getting the next politician elected that may not even have the same belief system that I have. That can't help them, Mark.
No, it doesn't. And the one thing that holds it together for the union officials is the compulsion, the fact that they can use money mm-hmm. out of the general treasury, money that people are compelled to pay as a condition of getting their job. They're forced to pay to keep their jobs. That goes into the general treasury. It does voter registration. It does get out the vote efforts. And it does it for candidates and ideas that they oppose. Many of these workers oppose. And that's kind of the strength of our issue at Right to Work. I mean, we offer workers a choice. A right to work law says you can participate any way you want, but you cannot be forced. And that's real simple. And it's a mm-hmm. it's an issue that 80% of Americans believe. It's 59% of union households don't think you should be forced to pay dues or fees. But yet we have a ticket on the Democrat side that wants to repeal practices that allow you to choose whether or not to financially support a labor union. Straight out.
No, well said. All right, Mark, how do folks find out more about you and what you guys have going on?
They can find us on the amazing World Wide Web at nrtw.org or nrtwc.org. The committee is the C, and the foundation is just the nrtw.org.
Perfect. Mark, I appreciate it very much. Mark Mix, president of the National Right to Work Committee. Mark, again, I appreciate it very much. You're welcome anytime.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Andy.
See you.
All right, appreciate it very much. And that was Mark. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Purifer Chevrolet's coming up next, and they want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. And literally, folks, it's like going back in time to buy a car. I know I say that a lot, but it really is. It's just old-time service. They take care of you. They've been doing this for 60-plus years. It's not this high-pressure hype, you know, where you walk onto the lot and six people attack you. That's not what you get when you go to Purifer Chevrolet. Call ahead. Find out what they've got. Go online. You can shop there as well. They'll take care of you. Trust me, they will. PurifierChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, folks, can you make it to retirement? And then once you get there, can you stay in retirement? Do you have enough money, assets, the things you need to make that happen? If you can't answer that or you don't know what the exact number is, that's where Al Smith from Golden Eagle Financial comes in. He can help you with that. He is a financial advisor. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie are about done with the second hour. We have another full hour coming your way once we're done with this hour. But let's talk a little bit more about these riots, which, again, we'll just keep reiterating this, not helping the left.
Yeah, and here's a shocking article. It comes from the Dan Bongino Show.
Okay.
Love Dan.
I do
love
too.
Him. And it's written by Matt Palumbo. It says, voters who have experienced riots overwhelmingly back Trump. Mm. And the reason this is shocking, this comes from Rasmussen, but the reason this is shocking, John, is where do these riots occur?
Inner cities.
Inner cities, urban
mostly,
areas.
Yes.
Okay, so these are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
typically.
This is typically Democrats.
It's their territory, let's say it that way.
Exactly. Listen to some of these numbers. This is shocking. Ready? Here we go. 3 out of 4 voters who have had violent anti-police protests in their community rate those protests important to their vote in the presidential election. Among these voters, a sizable majority like the job Trump is doing. Now, 42% of likely U.S. voters have had anti-police protests in their community this summer. Nearly half, 48%, of these voters say the protests in their community have turned violent. Okay, I know the numbers start to melt in your head. Here comes the big ones. Among all voters, 65% say the violent protests are important to their vote. And among those who have had violent protests in their community, even more, 76% rate them important to their vote, including 54% who say they are very important. And of these, 63%, here's the money shot, 63% of these voters strongly approve of the job Trump is doing,
wow,
versus 35% who strongly disapprove. I'm telling you, the rioters are killing the Democrat Party. Because this is their bastion. These are the areas where even if these people don't vote for Trump, they're going to depress some of the vote for Biden.
Well, I don't understand as well. I'm not saying that they should be doing this any differently because I'm glad they're doing it the way they – well, I'm not glad they're doing it, but I'd rather have them doing it this way than out in the suburbs, let's say it that way. But they're destroying their own property, their own, I mean, their own inner circle, if you would. I mean, it'd be like going to your own church and setting it on fire. Why would you do that?
I don't know, John.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I totally follow what you're saying. They are destroying businesses that are run by people who vote
for
just like them.
I don't understand it. Now, I was talking to somebody on vacation, a guy from Portland. I mentioned this yesterday. And this particular guy was talking about, you know, what's going on with the riots, how it's working and so on. But what he said was interesting, which again shows you the lack of education and knowledge when it comes to people that are rioting, how dumb they are basically, is if you're a corporate store, even though you might be a franchisee like a McDonald's, for example, but if you're a corporate store, you're getting burned to the ground.
Yeah.
If you're a local, you know, mom and pop shop, they'll pass right by you and go to the Starbucks or the McDonald's and burn them down. But what they don't understand is it's the same mom and pop type individual that owns the McDonald's that owns the mom and pop shop next door. It's
or
just
manages it.
Or manage it, or what? Either way, whatever the case. Now, Starbucks, I realize they're all corporate owned, but when you come to McDonald's and Burger King's and Wendy's and things like that, those are typically franchisees where there's an individual person. Chick-fil-A is a great example. So Chick-fil-A is one of the most desired franchises to own in the world. Reason is it's $20,000 investment. They set everything up for you. You got to agree to work the thing for X amount of time as the owner-operator. And then basically, you know, they get a cut off the top, but it's yours.
Right.
It's a great. That's why there's a huge waiting list. It's like a 10-year waiting list to own a Chick-fil-A because of what I just said. My point being is, even though it's a Chick-fil-A franchise, somebody has put a lot of time, effort, energy, sweat, et cetera, into getting that thing up, running, rolling, and so on. Yeah, it says Chick-fil-A, but Andy Pate may very well own it.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah, and oh, by the way, not only does Andy Pate own it, but a lot of your buddies and friends work at it.
Exactly. So we're going to burn it to the ground?
Right. You were gone. While you were on vacation, a lot of video about the Rochester riots was out
there. Which I did
not
see.
They were incredible. Yeah, because here was the beauty of this. Obviously, there's no beauty. It's horrible. I wish they weren't doing it. But I'm just talking politically. Right now,
okay.
Just talking.
Gotcha.
They weren't going Antifa. They were literally shouting, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, as they caved in walls and broke through these, you know, blinds and things that were hanging into where people were eating.
Oh, man.
They were grabbing their food, eating it, shouting at them and all this kind of stuff. My gosh. I mean, you would think Donald Trump sent them money to do this.
Unbelievable.
This is incredible what they're doing.
I don't understand the mentality. I just don't get it.
Rage has no mind.
Oh, good point. Well said. You're exactly right. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And as I said earlier, if you want it done right the first time, you want to see the design before you ever set foot in your new kitchen, You can do that at Enchanted Kitchens. That's what they do. They will show you literally on a 3D screen exactly what your kitchen will look like before you ever have it done, which, by the way, doesn't happen in a lot of places. And just as a side note, too, you don't do your own measuring when you go to Enchanted Kitchens. There's a lot of these places, big box stores and so on, that will help you do some of these things, but you're bringing your own stuff. And no offense, some of folks listening, I love you, but do you really know how to read a tape measure properly and give them all the right measurements and make it all happen and know exactly how it's supposed to be designed?
Can I give an example of your screw-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing you're going to do is you're not going to measure at all heights of the wall. The distance is going to be different here than there than
good
there.
Point.
Enchanted Kitchens gets
just
it all.
Let them do it all, folks. Again, it's klzradio.com, 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. KLZradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Okay, there is an election prediction model that's been correct 25 of the last 27 elections. Says Trump wins in a landslide.
Electoral landslide.
They have been right 25 out of 27 times. It's the Stony Brook political scientist Helmut Northpolt.
I've heard of this.
Say that right. They created the presidential election prediction model. They've done it all the way back to 1912. And the only 2 years the model was wrong was 1960 with Kennedy beating Nixon, although there are strong historical accounts that election fraud in Texas and Illinois delivered both states to Kennedy, when in fact the voters of Texas and Illinois selected Nixon.
They look at things like voter excitement.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. Got an awful hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.